Hello, everyone. This is Anna Verzoni, founder and creator of FreedomJunkie.com and the UrbanWellnessClub.com, and this is our Rainbow Cleanse call. So I hope you guys are all enjoying the cleanse so far. It is the 18th of October, so it's been a week. And this is often the hardest part for some people. Some people, it's the first 3 days. Some people, you know, they're kind of stoked about the whole thing and energized in the beginning, and then they lose their enthusiasm as the week goes and they kind of realize sort of, you know, what their cravings are and that they're not able to meet them. So if this is a challenge for you right now, that's okay. You know, it's a change. And anytime we change something, there tends to be some resistance. That's a natural process because our brains historically have really liked consistency because it's predictable and can ensure our safety. And when things change up, it's sort of like a signal, like, what's going on? So it's normal that this is uncomfortable, but I encourage you, if you're having very uncomfortable feelings or big struggles, to please share them on the forum or ask questions on this call so that we can address them. Because I assure you, when you learn to adapt to the challenges of the cleanse and to manage them, not only will cleansing be more pleasurable for you and something you want to do on a regular basis and therefore help you be more healthy for the rest of your life, but it will also expand to other parts of your life. You know, when you have a more malleable mind with cleansing, when you practice being out of your comfort zone with cleansing, when you encounter being out of your comfort zone in other situations, that's going to be easier as well because you will learn some skills in dealing with it during your cleanse. So I really encourage you to stick with it and ask for support and ask for clarification, okay? What I would like to do today is talk a bit about some specifics of the cleanse, like especially the phytonutrients and why they are important, and then open it up for any questions and answers. So if you're on the call, just so you know, once I'm done, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. And if you're on the webcast via internet, you can type your question into the question and answer box in the lower left-hand corner. All right, so one of the things I wanted to discuss was the colors, okay, and why the colors are so important. And the reason that the colors are so important isn't just because it's catchy and pretty and, you know, it's fun to call it Rainbow Cleanse or to have a bunch of different colors on the handouts, but it's because the colors are reflective of the type of nutrients in those foods. So that's why this phytonutrient element of the cleanse is so important, because it is these phytonutrients that provide a lot of the building blocks for some of the basic thriving functions of your body, not just the survive functions, but the thrive functions, like your mitochondrial metabolism and the ability to detox and whatnot. So let's start with red, okay? So red foods contain phytonutrients that help reduce the risk for certain cancers and protect the brain, heart, liver, and immune system. And there's tons, right? You guys have your food list that lists all the different types of foods that you can eat under each color. I just encourage you to try ones that you're not familiar with to try to expand, you know, your possibilities that way. But in terms of why red foods, lycopene is found in red foods, and that's a red-colored phytonutrient, and it may protect against cancers of the prostate, breast, and skin, and reduce the risk of heart attacks. So common ways you can find this are tomatoes, tomato-based products such as tomato juice, spaghetti sauce, tomato soup, tomato paste, plus watermelon, pink grapefruit, guava, you know, when you open up a guava. So when you cook the tomatoes, it results in this lycopene being more easily absorbed by the body. So this is one instance where cooking vegetables could be beneficial. And it's fat-soluble, like other carotenoids, of which lycopene is a family. And so it requires fat to optimize absorption into the body. So, you know, lo and behold, an ideal combination is making a cooked tomato sauce with olive oil. Now, tomato is also a nightshade, so if you're avoiding that during the cleanse, you don't want to do it during the cleanse. But if you aren't, this makes sense, right, in terms of helping it be absorbed by the body and cooking. Now, I know one of my raw foodist friends was saying that you can access the lycopene if you pulverize the tomato, like in a Vitamix. So that's one way that you can access the lycopene without cooking. But it is winter. I'm not a big fan of raw food in the winter. especially if you're in cold environments. So I encourage you to at least lightly cook it if you can. And the other nutrient in red foods is anthocyanins. And they are found in red berries, like raspberries, sweet cherries, strawberries, cranberries, and other red foods like apples with the skin on them, with the red skin, beets, cabbage, onion, kidney beans, and red beans. And these help reduce the risk of cancer and protect the heart and brain as well. So next is orange. And with orange foods, these help protect the immune system especially, plus the eyes and the skin, and also reduce the risk for cancer and heart disease. And one of the main nutrients in orange foods, can you guess? You've probably learned this a lot with carrots and whatnot. Beta-carotene. So when most people think of orange phytonutrients, they think of beta-carotene. And when they think of this, they think of carrots. And it's important because it can turn into vitamin A in the body. And vitamin A has many functions, such as promoting healthy vision, supporting the immune system and inflammatory system, cell growth, reproduction, and bone health. And there are actually several plant compounds that can convert to vitamin A in the body, and these are called carotenoids, under the right conditions, and beta-carotene is just one of these. So what's interesting is it doesn't just have to be in orange food. Many food sources of vitamin A are also of animal origin, like seafood, eggs, fish, dairy products like yogurt, milk, and cheese, which you're not eating during this cleanse. If you're vegan and you don't eat those, then you definitely need to eat these high carotenoid-containing foods, and these tend to be super colorful. They don't just have to be orange, even though that's one of the main colors. They can also be red, yellow, and green. So it may not be enough to have vegetable carotenoids as your sole source of vitamin A because many factors can limit the conversion of carotenoids into beta-carotene, like certain genetic disorders or digestive issues or excessive alcohol use, toxicity, and some over-the-counter medications. So to get the highest amount of carotenoids, like beta-carotene, from your food, also, it's good to cook some of the foods. And the ones that are higher in fiber require the heat of cooking to free the carotenoids from the food matrix, including the fiber. Now, I don't know if pulverizing would release them. It kind of makes sense if fiber is what's holding them in. I just know about the lycopene from my raw foodie friend, but you might want to look into it if that's of interest to you. So cooking it will free the carotenoids from the food matrix, including the fiber. And once you've liberated these carotenoids from the food by cooking, then you need fat again to shuttle them into the body. So see why low-fat diets can be so bad? You're not absorbing these nutrients. And again, we're focusing on good fats, not just any crappy fats, okay? And carotenoids are fat-soluble, so eat them with fat to become more available. So cook carrots drizzled with olive oil. And bioflavonoids are another thing in orange foods. And bioflavonoids are found in oranges, grapefruit, tangerines, clementines, peaches, nectarines, even yellow foods like lemons and pineapple. And unlike the beta-carotene, these are water-soluble instead of fat-soluble, so they do not require cooking or fat for the best absorption. And sometimes with these, cooking could actually be detrimental because it leads to the breakdown of these compounds. So bioflavonoids are super important because they work together with vitamin C to reduce the risk of heart attacks and cancer and help maintain strong bones and teeth, healthy skin, and good vision. And it's often the case in nutrition that you can see vitamins, phytonutrients, and minerals working together to create the best effect. Now, yellow. Let's go into yellow because it's kind of related to the orange too. Basically, with yellow foods, lutein and zeaxanthin are the ones found in yellow foods, as well as beta-carotene and lycopene, you know, in some of them. So similar to lycopene and beta-carotene, lutein and zeaxanthin are carotenoids. And these two carotenoids are not just found in yellow foods. Sometimes green foods, like kale and spinach, can contain these. And they have the same health benefits as the beta-carotenes and other carotenoids. Now, green foods, we've all heard a ton about green foods, okay? What's interesting about green is, you know, it's found in so many things, but also like olives and olive oil. Remember that those are green as well. You know, those beautiful, high-quality olive oils are green, and they will contain the same nutrients as green vegetables as well. So, you know, if you are having trouble adding green foods in, you know, you can also use some extra virgin olive oil. You could add some green-colored herbs and have some olives or squeezing fresh lime into your water. So those are some subtler ways that you could get green into your meal for the day if you don't have any green vegetables nearby. So nutrients in green foods, glucosinolates. Now, the phytonutrients that make cruciferous vegetables, this is also known as the brassica vegetables, the phytonutrients that make them anti-cancer in their action are called glucosinolates. And the glucosinolates give some of these vegetables their stinky sulfur smell. And this sulfur actually comes in handy, and it provides the liver with what it needs to get rid of toxins. And, you know, I don't know about this, but I wonder if that's why hot mineral springs were so important for detoxification, because they tend to contain sulfur because they're heated geothermally through volcanic activity and tend to have sulfur in them. So I find that very curious. If anybody knows about that, please share it on the Facebook group. But the sulfur comes in handy as it gives the liver what it needs to get rid of those toxins. And when they're chopped or chewed, so this is why it's also very important to chew your foods, the glucosinolates turn into these active compounds called isothiocyanates. And fancy names, indole-3-carbinol, sulforaphane, and a bunch of others. And these phytonutrients actually change the way estrogen is metabolized or broken down in the body. And as a result, eating these vegetables is associated with the decreased risk of estrogen-related cancers specifically, right, such as breast and uterine cancer. They also prevent other types of cancers, but this is why specifically they're very helpful for these estrogen-related cancers. And eating these raw, lightly sautéed, or minimally steamed, like just for about 90 seconds, that's best to retain the full array of nutrients. And the cruciferous vegetables are also really awesome sources of fiber, vitamins, and minerals. So eating one serving of these daily, particularly like broccoli, kale, or Brussels sprouts, can help lower overall disease risk. So what's in the cruciferous family? You know, surprisingly, like sometimes I always thought like, oh, cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower. But actually, arugula, bok choy, broccolini, Brussels sprouts, collard greens, kale, kohlrabi, mustard greens, and watercress are all part of this cruciferous family. So awesome greens, right? There is also, just when it talks about eating things raw, definitely with things like the thicker ones, like broccoli, it's better to at least lightly cook it, at least because you can break down some of the toxic components that are in the broccoli just by lightly cooking them. So I think that that's the best kind of balance, is to lightly cook these vegetables. So except for like, you know, arugula is really nice raw, and that's easy to break down. It doesn't have the same toxins that broccoli does, for example, and kale as well, and other these leafy greens. So another nutrient in greens, phytosterols. So these are plant sterols, in other words, and they are chemically similar to cholesterol, but they aren't cholesterol. And they can actually block the absorption of cholesterol from food in the gut. So there are many different types of phytosterols because they help reduce LDL, which is low-density lipoprotein. It's called often referred to as like the bad cholesterol. And they're often added to prepared foods and put into dietary supplements. So there may also be some immune system benefits of these compounds. So since people have been eating more processed foods and less plant foods, the average person is getting too few of these to help lower blood fat. So good green food sources of phytosterols are things like avocados, lettuce, and olive oil. So right, olive oil and avocado, fatty foods that help lower cholesterol. Other non-green sources include dried sunflower seeds, which is probably one of the richest sources. There's like 374 milligrams per half cup serving of sunflower seeds. And rice bran oil. I personally haven't cooked a lot with rice bran oil, but I know a lot of people who love it. And that has 162 milligrams in just one tablespoon. So another nutrient in green foods is catechins. And these are one of the bitter compounds that you can find in green tea, which reminds me, I need to take my tea bag out of my green tea or it's going to get too, bitter. So I'm going to take a sip of it right now. So the most well-recognized catechin from the green tea is called, well, the short word is EGCG, but it's epigallocatechin, epigallocatechin gallate, epigallocatechin gallate, EGCG. And just one cup of green tea a day will reduce the risk of breast cancer by, guess, 50%. Why not then, right? Just have a cup of green tea, man. Freaking why not? So reducing risk of breast cancer by 50%. And you can have caffeinated and non-caffeinated versions of green tea. So just because you're avoiding caffeine doesn't mean you can't have it. All right. Blue, purple, and black foods. Oh, I love these. I just love these. It's mostly because of the berries. So what are the nutrients in these? Well, one of the famous ones is resveratrol, right? This is popular purple phytonutrient, made its way into the news because it can promote the healthy aging processes by reducing inflammation and blood sugar. So reducing inflammation and blood sugar, along with being beneficial for the cardiovascular system. And so grapes with the skin are a great source of this. So yes, it is found in red wine, but it's not a reason to go drink red wine all the time per se, because as you guys have learned in maybe other cleanses or if you're part of the Urban Wellness Club, you may have learned that, you know, alcohol can also affect your gut microbiome and whatnot. So just because it has resveratrol doesn't mean to go for it all the time. But you can also have grape juice, for example. Fresh squeezed, obviously, with no added sweeteners. And then another one is taro still bean. And it actually starts with a P, but you don't really pronounce it. So taro still bean. That's a phytonutrient that resembles resveratrol, and you can find that in blueberries and grapes also. And there's some animal research that suggests it wards off cancer and keeps the blood fats like cholesterol and triglycerides low, and can help with preserving cognition, so your mental function. And it can also have positive effects on blood sugar. Okay, now white, tan, and brown foods and detoxification. So this is like the last category of the phytonutrients. You know, you may be surprised to find that, I at least forgot that, like, grains have phytonutrients. Like, I always think of vegetables, but it's really plant sources. Phyto is plant. So, you know, white, tan, and brown foods have a lot of nutrients. So, for example, the nuts or the onions or the cauliflowers, garlic, some of the grains, right? And so there's not that many white, tan, or brown foods. There's coconut, lychees, some pears. So that's just some examples. But you can add some of these into your diet with more brown spices, using dates instead of sweeteners, adding diced onion to your meals. You can have warm tahini, which is sesame seed paste, over other vegetables, hummus. So think about that. So what are in these colored foods in terms of nutrients? Well, allicin is one. So allicin is one of garlic's medicinal components that may contribute to its anti-cancer and blood pressure-lowering things, okay? So to maximize the production of allicin, it's recommended that you let crushed or chopped garlic sit for 5 to 10 minutes before cooking it or adding anything to it. I really need to work on this because I tend to do everything kind of last minute. So I'm kind of like, whoosh, crush it, chop it, toss it in. But if you let it sit for 5 or 10 minutes, it allows that to be released before cooking. And this can also be antibacterial and antiviral. I remember when I was a kid, I had gotten bit by a dog, not badly. I was only maybe like, I was in kindergarten, so I must have been about 5 years old. And I remember my mom, who's Filipino, she crushed some garlic and just rubbed it in there. Oh, it stung. It stung. But, you know, traditional cultures know the antibacterial effect of garlic. And, no, I did not get any further infections from that. But, man, it burned. So lignans, another thing in these color foods. So lignans are not to be confused with lignans. So lignans is L-I-G-N-A-N-S, lignans, L-I-G-N-I-N-S. So lignans are related to fiber. Lignans are fiber-related fiber nutrients, and they act as antioxidants and phytoestrogens. So phytoestrogens are plant compounds with weak estrogenic activity. And the food that gets the credit for having a high amount of lignans is flax seeds, right? They contain 7 times as much lignans as the runner-up, which is sesame seeds. And other good sources are sunflower seeds, cashew nuts, and peanuts. And they're anti-inflammatory, promote healthy blood vessels, act as anti-cancer agents, especially hormone-related cancers. And one of the ways that they can be helpful in reducing cancer is by also triggering the release of certain enzymes in the liver that are responsible for deactivating toxins in the body, okay? So that's a short bit about, you know, why phytonutrients are important. So I hope that helped you appreciate how important they are. I did want to mention something about protein because I feel like good quality protein is really lacking in a lot of people who are very health-focused. Now, that's kind of shifting as paleo is gaining more popularity. But also when people do cleanses, they sometimes cut out a lot of protein, which makes sense because it can help ease the digestion, but that doesn't mean that you're supposed to cut out protein altogether. Like, you still are supposed to have protein, but you're just adding more easily to digest protein, such as hemp protein, to your diet and removing the harder to digest proteins like animal protein. So if you've done a cleanse that, you know, limits protein to help give your digestion a rest, you should still be getting high quality protein. And this particular cleanse more focuses on having high quality protein the whole time. And that's because protein is really important for fueling good metabolism and the transport of toxins through the liver. Because the building blocks of protein, which you probably remember, are amino acids. They get coupled to a toxin so that it can be sent through the body to be eliminated in the bile and then out through the small intestine and in your stool or urine also, okay? So what you want to do is eat high-quality protein at every meal. And, you know, you can use your tracking journal to assess your protein intake and make sure you're getting that. And notice how you feel after protein, whether you have any digestive issues. And if you do, talk with one of your practitioners about it, right? But good quality protein is really essential during detoxification. It helps stabilize your blood sugar, which keeps your hunger at bay and your blood sugar, you know, from spiking, which then prevents your cortisol from getting all out of whack. So when possible, include protein in every meal. So high-quality proteins of any kind are the best choice, such as lean and grass-fed, organic, and non-GMO animal sources, and wild-caught fish. And if you're vegan, do nuts, seeds, and legumes. And if you eat animal products, wild-caught fish, poultry, and turkey are your best options rather than red meat, right? Although if that's your only option, then that's fine too. So, and if you're choosing to take a protein powder in a shake or smoothie, use hypoallergenic rice or pea proteins if you're vegan. So hypoallergenic rice or pea proteins. And you can track your protein intake on the tracking journal by checking off that pea box, okay? And animal and vegetable sources both count equally on that form. And again, noticing how the high protein foods make you feel. Do you feel sluggish, energized, or grounded 30 to 90 minutes after eating? Do you feel satiated? Do you feel full? Or do you feel like eating again soon after? So just keep track of these changes in your body so that you can see whether a pattern emerges. So, for example, if you get bloated or feel distension every time you eat high amounts of protein, this may tell you something about your digestion, right? Because remember, that's why in some cleanses we remove it, to help give your weak digestion a break. Or it could be that you're intolerant to that particular food. And another thing I wanted to mention was, let me just pull up my notes here for it, is, you know, why are we omitting particularly gluten and dairy again? I just wanted to touch on that. So here we are, week one. Remember to continue to omit gluten and dairy-containing foods. And with gluten, let me just go into a little bit more about what it is for the newbies. Gluten is a term for the storage proteins found in wheat. And gluten provides that kind of like ooey gooey elastic structure of bread and baked goods. Like if you've ever kneaded bread, you can really stretch it and pull it. And that allows them to rise and give that nice chewy effect to bread and pastas. And when a gluten-sensitive person ingests gluten proteins, this triggers an inflammatory response that can impair your intestinal function and compromise immune function. And there are similar proteins found in rye, spelt, oats, and barley that can trigger the same response. So I got a question earlier from someone that was asking, you know, why is rice okay but other grains aren't? and because they were kind of struggling with the elimination of some of these other grains. And, you know, but why is rice okay? Well, actually, any grain that does not contain gluten is okay. Any grain that does not contain gluten is okay. It's just that, you know, on top of wheat, these similar proteins of gluten are found in rye, spelt, oats, and barley that can trigger the same response. In particular, you know, some people can tolerate spelt and oats without having the same effect. But you can have specifically cross-contamination with wheat gluten and oat gluten or in oats because they're also processed in general in the same plant. So if you're doing oats, just be sure to have gluten-free oats if that's something that you're really worried about. But in general, that's why we not just eliminate wheat but also rice, spelt, oats, and barley, okay, because they contain the same proteins that can trigger the same response. So, again, it's not exactly the same as gluten, but they're really structurally similar, and most people do have a similar response. So, people who suffer from gluten intolerance and celiac disease often go undiagnosed for several years before discovering their source of their GI distress or this discomfort with gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, right? And other signs of gluten intolerance include infertility. And why is that? Well, because if you think about it, right, with the eating foods that you're intolerant to can cause inflammation and hormone imbalances and whatnot. Skin rashes, foggy brain, foggy thinking, fatigue, autoimmune diseases, and neurologic signs like dizziness or feeling off balance, headaches, inflammation in your joints, and mood swings. So avoiding gluten-containing products is a very effective way to manage those symptoms if you're feeling them. And I highly encourage you, even though it's hard right now, to stick with it. And don't just do rice. Like you know, rice isn't the only alternative in this cleanse. You can have quinoa. You can have millet. Like, quinoa is fantastic. I love the texture of quinoa because it's kind of got that chewy component of gluten and that nutty flavor, and it's actually got a really high protein content, almost as high as wheat, believe it or not. So quinoa is a fantastic grain alternative to rice when you're trying to eat gluten-free, as well as millet. Millet is fluffy for me. I'm not a huge fan of millet, but other people love it. But it's more kind of like a couscous type of texture. Dairy. So when it comes to dairy, people automatically think of lactose intolerance, right? So therefore, I can have dairy and just buy the lactose-free dairy. And that's true. So some people can't digest the milk sugar called lactose. And when they drink milk or eat dairy products, they can get bloating and diarrhea. But there's another form of intolerance when it comes to dairy. And similar to gluten, dairy contains a dietary protein that may not be broken down well in the gut. And this can cause symptoms similar to those of gluten intolerance. And some researchers and doctors with the latest studies say that gluten and dairy intolerance typically occur together. I know that that's the case for me. So therefore, that's why we put these two things together, the gluten and the dairy, as eliminating it and as two big common protein-containing foods as part of things that we eliminate on this cleanse because it can be a food trigger. And these are two of the biggest food triggers for most people, okay? So that's why we're eliminating those. And again, if you're having difficulties with this, definitely come online and ask people for alternatives, peruse through the recipes, and experiment with some of your grain alternatives, okay? Let me just check if there are any other questions. Press star 2 if you're on the call to raise your hand. Type in the lower left-hand corner if you have any other questions on the webcast. And I answered the ones that got emailed in, so I think we are good. Thank you all for coming on the call today. Continue on with the cleanse. Use the Facebook group for support. And know that this is so worth it. Your body is so happy that you're doing this, even though it may be difficult for you and you may even be experiencing some of those detoxing symptoms, you know, with the headaches or the irritability. Take care of yourself. Get plenty of rest. I do believe that the fact that I do cleanses regularly has contributed to my energy level, the fact that I haven't gained any weight, you know, since high school, and that I am just staying as healthy as I am. I started doing these after I had my cancer diagnosis, my first one. back in 2003, and it has become a really fabulous part of my life. And I just always feel great after doing them. So I hope that you continue on, even though it's challenging, and reap the same benefits. All right, I will see you all on the forum and on our cleanse call that's coming up. Bye.